H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump has a January 10th court date in New York City for sentencing in the business fraud hush money case. He will not be going to prison.
What the judge appears to indicate in this memo, in this decision, and this is important, he signals that he's intending to sentence Trump to what's called a quote-unquote unconditional discharge out of respect for the presidential immunity doctrine.
ABC's Catherine Falders. A federal judge has greenlit a Sunday start of congestion pricing in New York City, imposing a toll on drivers going south of 60th Street in Manhattan. Death of a 60s R&B star.
Just give me some kind of sign, girl.
His manager says Brenton Wood died Friday morning at his home in Moreno Valley, California. In 1967, he had three hit singles, including Give Me a Little Sign, no cause of death given. Brenton Wood was 83. This is ABC News. Inside the Oval Office, President Biden bestowed the Medal of Valor on eight first responders, declaring that the six police and two firefighters enabled people to continue their lives in ways they never would have.
These eight men have done things that are changing not only their lives, the lives of families that were able to celebrate Christmas, what they did. They saved children. They saved people in serious distress. They jumped into freezing water. They did it all.
Inventory taking time at the London Zoo. The zoo taking stock of its more than 10,000 occupants, from alpacas to zebras, lots of birds, reptiles, and invertebrates in between. The annual census is a requirement of the zoo's license. The information that's gathered will be shared with zoos worldwide to help manage breeding programs of endangered species. The zoo says two baby gorillas and three Asiatic lion cubs were born in 2024. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Allbush Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As the new year begins, activists are asking lawmakers and officials to figure out how to prevent school shootings, like the one that happened just weeks ago in Madison. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
While Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has called for a holistic approach, advocates say prevention starts with stronger gun laws. Lindsay Nichols with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence says the state could require universal background checks for gun purchases or raise the age for gun possession.
We know that some of these shooters are young people themselves, and there are plenty of policies, for example, to keep guns out of the hands of youth. These are laws that some states have passed and some haven't. We need action from our lawmakers to protect our kids.
She says other options are to pass a red flag law or strengthen legislation on firearm storage. Giffords ranks states on a scorecard for their gun laws every year. Wisconsin most recently received a C grade. Nichols says time and again, they found the stronger a state's gun laws, the lower its gun death rate. And the weaker the laws, the higher the gun death rate.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
While Wisconsin has enacted basic gun safety laws, she notes the state could also pass bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines, or lengthen the waiting period for a firearms purchase. Despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy sky for tonight and cold, a low near 5 below, wind chills in the teens below. And mostly sunny for the weekend, high temps in the low teens, again wind chills at times below zero. Cold to start early next week, highs 10 to 15, and partly sunny through Wednesday. Currently it's 2 below.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, it's Monday, so our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will join us. Plus, it's January 6th. The counting and certification of the electoral vote is scheduled to take place. Tune in. We'll be wild.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Friend and colleague Dominic Salvia, host of the Dom Salvia Show from 4 to 6 p.m. across Civic Media, joining us at 10:33. He was one of my first guest co-hosts when we first started the show. It is our year anniversary today for Matinair on Air.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I honestly cannot believe it's been a year.
Yeah.
It's gone really quickly.
And Dom was there for, I think it was your Monday or Tuesday, come in and do the show with you.
Yep.
That was
hold my hand a little bit because we did. So Dominic's going to be joining us coming up after 10:33 next hour. We will lighten things up in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk junk drawers.
Yeah.
And do you have more than one?
Exactly.
I certainly do. A lesser. It's more of, it was a junk shelf. It's a junk shelf. We'll talk about that after 11 o'clock. Do you have more than one junk drawer? What's the oddest thing in your junk drawer?
Where is it in
where
your
is
home?
It? Yeah, where is it in your house? Where is the junk drawer? Do you have more than one? We'll take your calls about that after 11 o'clock. Tyler Amass will be here from Milwaukee Record, and they have a big NA event going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Dry January, baby.
Yep.
A lot of people abstaining from alcohol during the month of January.
Yeah.
This has become a much bigger thing, I want to say, over the last 5 years.
Well, just the NA movement as far as, you know, when I was a kid, you had O'Doul's and you had Sharps.
And that was about it.
That's about it.
Yes.
And now the non-alcoholic, non-alcohol beer, spirits, wine industry is just growing and growing with a lot of regular breweries taking on these projects.
Well, so. And I think a lot more young people are not consuming alcohol the way that my generation did.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
That is a great thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that event. If you want to check that out, it's happening this weekend in Milwaukee. And of course, we will wrap it up today, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's that sinking feeling edition.
You've lost that sinking feeling.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, and keep it on the lighter side, we understand that there are many, many things in the world right now that just shouldn't be. But at least for that segment,
yes,
we try to keep it a little bit lighter. I think if you can't laugh, you're going to die.
I agree.
I have to laugh. I try to laugh at least once a day.
I've seen it happen. It's pretty spectacular. So you'd laugh here once a day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
It just is. We wanted to start off, though, with an article that I found in the WPR this morning from journalist Danielle Kading. And the headline reads, after failed attempts, Wisconsin lawmakers will try again to address PFAS. That would be good.
That'd be great.
Republican lawmakers worked with Governor Evers to set aside $125 million under the current two-year budget to address PFAS, but they have been at odds over how to spend that money. Senator Eric Wimberger, Republican from Oconto, says he'll reintroduce a measure to tackle PFAS by the end of January. Quote, the money just needs to be focused on the actual remediation, getting people help, and eliminate the liability exposure, unquote. Last year, Wimberger and other GOP colleagues introduced a bill. It called for spending money on grants for local governments, landowners, and landfills to test wells and treatment plants for the PFAS. This also would have given grants to landowners who have PFAS contamination that they didn't cause.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important, that seems to me to be the sticking point about should those people who did not cause the PFAS that are showing up in their property be held responsible as the polluters?
Should they? Wait, say that one more time.
If I'm a landowner.
Yes.
And we test my well and there's PFAS contamination.
Yes.
That I did not incur.
Yeah.
Should I be held liable as a polluter?
Oh, that's, I don't think so, but how do you what's the testing? What's the processes involved? Then yes, if you have something that's substantial and you can show beyond a shadow of a doubt, great. But
that's the sticking point, yeah, though. In a letter earlier December 20th, in a letter to the governor, Wimberger said many landowners would be deemed polluters under state law, which requires anyone who causes, possesses, or controls a hazardous substance that's been released into the environment to clean it up.
I guess my question then, just because, well, because of the party that is proposing the bill, who are we looking at then?
Who's going to be exempt?
Are we looking at John Q. Farmer, who's got a well that has just happened? Or are we looking down the road to a factory?
Right.
Who are we protecting here?
Yeah. Wimberger wrote in his letter, an attempt by an innocent landowner to get clean water or help remediate pollution will financially ruin them. Our laws should not be make doing the right thing a life-changing dilemma for innocent parties. I don't disagree with that. But there are people who are responsible for these PFAS. Should they not be held accountable for this?
According to this, no. According to this, no. Which, once again, if there is a, forgive the term, a smell test, you know, is this a small amount of, is this a small property? Is this one person? Is it personal property? Okay, we can talk about this. Are we talking about a major company? Are we talking about a place that uses chemicals? Are we that manufacture items that, I don't know, have PFAS in them?
Yeah. The governor has repeatedly asked Republican lawmakers to release the money to address contamination, PFAS contamination. It's been more than 500 days since that money was set aside. And the Joint Finance Committee is still sitting on it.
Yes, amongst other monies.
Yes.
For other projects.
Senator Brad Paff from Onalaska, Democrat, said that money should have been released. Town of Campbell residents in his district had been relying on bottled water for almost 4 years. That's unacceptable.
And that's something that we've talked about in the past. You know, when we think about people drinking bottled water, we immediately think of Flint, Michigan. We only think of Flint, Michigan.
But it's here.
But it's here in Wisconsin. And the Joint Finance Committee is sitting on that money because they want to protect polluters.
It certainly feels that way.
It feels very much so like they want to make sure their buddies or future buddies
or campaign contributors
exactly aren't be held liable for the damage they've caused to our to property, to our natural landscapes. I shouldn't be surprised that there's a little rider and they're saying, oh, by the way, no one's responsible.
Yeah, we can't hold anyone accountable for this.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point now where the Biden administration has come in and given us money for this, for PFAS cleanup as well, going to the communities.
To use this funding.
The communities will apply. This will not, as far as I was reading in the article, it will not go to the state to then be directed towards the communities, because then it's just going to compound the $150 million
that they're already sitting on.
Yeah,
exactly. Paff said in his letter, the residents and taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin shouldn't be subject to drinking bottled water for years because we're arguing over who has the liability of a forever chemical causing health concerns to Wisconsin residents. Republican lawmakers say they're worried that farmers could be held liable for spreading PFAS-contaminated biosolids on their farm fields, but the DNR has already said it does not and does not intend to pursue farmers for unintentional PFAS contamination.
That's my whole point, is are there tests to figure out what is intentional versus unintentional? If it's unintentional, so you can't deal, you can't help, then fine.
Yeah.
But if you are a company that is making items that contain PFAS, well, then guess what? Got to crack that checkbook open.
Paff says innocent landowners need to be protected, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks Democrats and Republicans can work together on legislation to address PFAS. He said that includes eliminating PFAS at the source.
Which is something that, oh, what's that state next to us that does all the cool things? Minnesota did.
Yes.
They banned that.
Yes. Kicked in on January 1st in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Paff also says he'll reintroduce legislation to ban non-essential use of PFAS in consumer products. The Republican also says he supports the idea of phasing out PFAS. And as you said, Greg, they just kicked that in Minnesota on the 1st.
Yeah.
Last year, Republicans and Democrats introduced dueling bills on groundwater standards for PFAS. Both proposals failed to move forward. Paff says he's looking at legislation to allow groundwater standards to move forward. And Wimberger thinks action on groundwater limits will move forward within the next year. It would be nice to see something get done.
Then this would be major, too. And you know, like, you don't want to hold people accountable? Fine. Throw in $2,000, $5,000 extra every home that has to buy, that's had to buy bottled water for the past four years.
4 years.
You've taken away their ability to access clean drinking water, and they've had to budget that money in. And guess what? That's not cheap over 4 years. So let's throw some money in there for them, too. You're going to protect your buddies? Let's help the people. I don't know. It's very frustrating. 500 days.
It's inexcusable.
And when you listen to the Joint Finance Committee members talk about it, they're just so flippant. As they're like, well, we just can't come to an agreement. Meanwhile, people can't drink.
Your constituents.
Yep. It's so shameful. It's so shameful.
Around 90 public water systems in Wisconsin must now treat their water or drill a new well to meet federal regulations. PFAS have been found in public and private wells, communities large and small. They include the towns of Campbell, Stella, and Peshtigo, along with Madison, Eau Claire, and Wausau.
Yep.
So this is a widespread issue.
Yeah.
Again, now that they're finally coming back to work after a couple months.
Well, give it time. I mean, they got a solid like 2-3 days, and they're going to take another,
They got to take a break.
11 and a half months this year.
It's exhausting.
I know.
It's exhausting being a Wisconsin assemblyman.
Collecting a check for literally hours of work.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream, we stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Dom Salvia will be joining us. He's the host of the Dom Salvia Show, 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, so I hope you can stick around for that. We're going to talk about Mike Johnson.
Oh, grand.
Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. What are the odds?
Speaker of the House for how long?
Yeah, for, well, at least this hour.
Yeah.
We'll see how long he lasts. He might actually squeak through.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then Aaron Rodgers had thoughts about his last 2 years. And I can't wait to hear what Dom thinks about what Aaron Rodgers said. And what you guys think, because, yeah, it's making a couple of ripples.
I mean, I was going to say this right now. We got a lot of people on the live stream right now.
We do.
I'm looking at you now, right now, live stream people. Hello. There's a lot of you there. Make some comments. Let us know. Text us. Call us.
Maybe we're just background noise.
Possibly, but we're still. I'm still looking at you. You can still see me. Call us.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin. Calvin barely speaks. So
Calvin speaks.
He speaks, but I'm not going to speak for him.
I'm always thrilled to be here. incredible to be the producer of Matt Nair on Air.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
No, seriously. Thank you for bringing us along on this journey. Thank you for bringing us along for the show. We really appreciate
it. Well, I appreciate you guys. And hopefully we're going to have a guest on Monday for Beyond the Cheese.
Oh, boy.
Wisconsin Knitwear.
What'd you just say?
Wisconsin Knitwear.
Okay.
Maybe we can get some MOA merch.
That would be amazing.
Maybe we can get them to do like a limited run for us.
Yes. Or a limited run, but then like three pieces of merch that only we have.
Ooh.
Like it says special. Like, special yours merch. Says thing one, mine says thing two, Calvin says thing three.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
We'll wait till we get him in studio and then we'll put the pressure on him.
We'll lock the doors from the outside.
Yeah, you can't leave until you give us what we want. I did want to mention this, hearing some, a lot of discussion about this. This is also from Wisconsin Public Radio, from Sarah Lair. Wisconsin Elections Commission to investigate egregious election failure that left nearly 200 Madison ballots uncounted. In a special meeting yesterday, the commission chair of the Wisconsin Election Commission criticized the error and asked why it took more than 6 weeks for this issue to be reported. That seems kind of a long lag.
Yeah.
The 193 uncounted absentee ballots from three of Madison's election wards would not have changed the outcome of the race.
Nope.
Any races.
No.
However, you still have to look at allegations of election-related problems.
Yes.
So a complaint has not yet been filed over these uncounted ballots. Elections Commission Chair Ann Jacobs said she believes the commission should act immediately. At her request, commissioners voted 6-0 yesterday to authorize an investigation. Of those 193 uncounted ballots, 125 were from west of downtown Madison, another 67 ballots near Shorewood Hills, and one single ballot got missorted, according to a memo from the clerk's office. Around the city of Madison, more than 174,000 votes were cast in the fall election. But again, I guess the question is, why did it take 6 weeks for this issue to be brought to them?
I think it took 6 weeks because someone found the issue. I think if it hadn't been brought up, it would have been ignored forever.
Just kind of gone by the wayside?
Yeah, because this is a problem. This is a problem in many municipalities. And without getting into massive details, because I can't write in this moment, municipalities have a problem with curing ballots. I know for a fact that they're not being called. They're not being cured. They're not being brought in, called to say, please fix this information so your ballot can be counted. I know that for a fact. I can't go into deeper because my sources begged me not to say who they are. But
should we storm the Capitol on Monday?
We'll just storm Kenosha. It's close to my house. It's not Kenosha, but it's close to my house.
We don't want to take you out of your way.
No, exactly. But yeah, I mean, this is a problem. And I'm not talking about elections stolen. I'm not talking about 60 failed court cases. I'm talking about these little things because you want your vote to be counted,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And I would be very upset if I looked at myvote.wi.gov and saw that it wasn't counted and asked why. Well, there was a problem. Well, how come I wasn't contacted? So now I just have no voice in this one election. And there'll be people who say, well, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal to me. It should be a big deal to everybody.
To all of us.
Because it's our right to vote. So I'm hoping that they find out what the problem was. And I kind of hope they look at other municipalities and say, hey, is everyone doing the work?
Make sure we're following the procedures we're supposed to be following.
Correct.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. We got about 2 minutes left. What did you want to say?
Yeah, it occurs to me that part of this problem, you know, it's pretty much inexcusable that this happened, perhaps. But perhaps part of the solution would be that they can start counting those ballots, processing those ballots as soon as they start getting them in during the elections. I mean, the Republicans blocked counting the absentee ballots before election day. As soon as those ballots start to come in, people should be able to be processing them, and they should be put in and, you know, that run through the machine, so they don't have this kind of backlog going up, because these things are getting stored, you know, they're getting them, you know, weeks before the election happens, and that makes room for then something like this to happen.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Mark, maybe with the numbers a little bit closer as we go into this next legislative session, maybe they'll actually be able to pass that.
Yeah.
All kinds of places do it around the country. They start counting the ballots the day before the election, and it seems to be working just fine.
Yep, and no shenanigans.
Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it. We have news coming up next. When we come back, Dom Salvia will be here to kick around Mike Johnson's speakership. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast, statewide, countrywide, and global on the Civic Media app, Civic Media radio station.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump has a January 10th court date in New York City for sentencing in the business fraud hush money case. He will not be going to prison.
What the judge appears to indicate in this memo, in this decision, and this is important, he signals that he's intending to sentence Trump to what's called a quote-unquote unconditional discharge out of respect for the presidential immunity doctrine.
ABC's Catherine Falders. A federal judge has greenlit a Sunday start of congestion pricing in New York City, imposing a toll on drivers going south of 60th Street in Manhattan. Death of a 60s R&B star.
Just give me some kind of sign, girl.
His manager says Brenton Wood died Friday morning at his home in Moreno Valley, California. In 1967, he had 3 hit singles, including Give Me a Little Sign. No cause of death given. Brenton Wood was 83. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Another win for Marquette. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles with a 79-71 win over Creighton. In Milwaukee, Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 22 points. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This was a hard game. Creighton, they make things difficult in a lot of ways on both ends of the floor. Another sellout crowd on a Friday night, Fiserv Forum. Where else would you want to be? We had some really good possessions as well.
In Madison, the Badgers blew out the Iowa Hawkeyes, 116-85 at the Kohl Center. John Blackwell with a career-high 32 points. NBA, the Bucks at home tonight against the Trailblazers. NFL, it's the Packers and the Bears in Green Bay tomorrow at noon. Chicago hoping to snap a 10-game losing streak, but last week their defense held Seattle to just 6 points.
Edmonds, Sweat, the D-line, Jalen Johnson, they've got a lot of great players, and they're playing extremely hard.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy sky for tonight and cold, a low near 5 below, wind chills in the teens below. And mostly sunny for the weekend, high temps in the low teens, again wind chills at times below zero. Cold to start early next week, highs 10 to 15, and partly sunny through Wednesday. Currently, it's 2 below.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you gotta buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbus Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the weekend's news and we bring back Beyond the Cheese. Wisconsin knitwear is featured. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we'll lighten things up next hour. We want to talk junk drawers. Do you have more than one? And where is your junk drawer? This is related to something I did on New Year's Day. I had a junk shelf, essentially. And I found some things. Wow, they were practically artifacts. It was not good. So we be talking junk drawers after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, though, our friend and colleague and host of the Dom Salvia Show from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network, Dominic Salvia, with us in studio. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jane. Great to be with you. Greg, Calvin, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You were one of my first additional co-hosts, extra people to hold my hand when Matt Mayer on Air first got underway. It's our one-year anniversary.
I can't even believe it's been a year.
I know.
That's amazing.
It goes so quickly.
And it's gone so fast, and it seems like yesterday, but also at the same time, so much has changed. Right?
Oh, you know,
it's
yes.
this weird existence we have.
Yes. It's trying to keep on top of everything yeah. and keep your head above water because things break so quickly.
Yeah.
The news just breaks so quickly now. I wanted to start off, though, with, Moses Mike Johnson. And the reason that I call him that is because he said God essentially told him that he was meant to be Speaker of the House.
Oh, good.
So then it should be a shoe-in today. Maybe not so much.
No.
Maybe not so much.
Maybe not. Thomas Massey, the libertarian from Kentucky, I believe, is a hard no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how hard no is he, we ask? We have a clip. Calvin, can you play that clip?
If Chip Roy were asked to serve as chairman of the Rules Committee, would that be enough to get your vote for Mike Johnson?
Oh, no. You can pull all my fingernails out. You can shove bamboo up in them. You can start cutting off my fingers. I am not voting for Mike Johnson tomorrow. And you can take that to the bank.
Thomas, who are you voting for?
Let's take it to the bank.
I give him
until 6 o'clock tonight to crumble.
Yeah.
And he will crumble.
He better come out of Congress with, like, 8 digits showing. And also, if you recognize that voice asking the question, that is Mr. Matt Gaetz on his first day at his new job.
On OAN.
On OAN. The clip...
Oh, they don't do background checks at OAN, huh?
Oh, no.
Apparently not. Background, schmackground, who cares?
His background is actually just a ratings boost, if you ask them. But what's funny is that when I clip that original thing, it's 50 seconds. But that whole thing right there we listened to was 23. The rest is all, get OAN online and take it anywhere you want to listen to. Now only $4.99 a month.
I would suggest that you check out Matt Gaetz's new program just to get a look at all the work he's had done.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
You guys, there's a plastic surgery cliff, I'm telling you. And he's on the edge of jumping off, boy.
There will be no wrinkles.
No wrinkles. None.
No frowning. There will be no
frowning.
No
emotion will be shown.
But back to Mike Johnson and whether or not he will be Speaker. Of course, the vote is going to be held today. And as you said, we already have, I think there's two. Thomas Massey is the firmest one who says he will not vote for Mike Johnson. If Johnson doesn't get it, who does that leave them? Jim Jordan? Because he tried this with McCarthy. I think Jordan is just about as popular as Matt Gaetz.
Right. I mean, the bench is pretty lean over on that side. And we just went through this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of the same players are still there. And what do? You go back to them? You know, I think ultimately it would probably end up being Johnson simply because there's nobody else.
Isn't it amazing, though, that the GOP and the Congress has these superstars. And I use that term with air quotes doing the heavy lifting. But like your Lauren Boebert, your MTG, your Jim Jordan, none of these superstars could be the speaker because of their own baggage. You got to find a guy like Mike Johnson, who everyone's like, who? And now, even now he's in the spotlight, nobody likes him.
Well, and they just feel that he did not shove their agenda hard enough, and he actually negotiated.
Oh, my gosh.
He negotiated with Democrats.
Well, and he's forced to. I mean, the numbers mandate it. And I don't care what Republican steps up. If it's not going to be Johnson, if it's an MTG or someone else, they're going to be faced with the same numbers. And you're going to have to do something to reach across the aisle simply because of the math.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Mike Johnson, he's got one vote.
One vote.
He's got, that's it.
Yeah.
He's got so much wiggle room.
Oh, what about the mandate? There's such a mandate that the Republicans claim to have.
The 1.56% mandate?
That 49.9%.
Less than 50%.
That didn't hit 50% mandate? That's good to know.
Oh, the people have spoken, and they said, I guess.
Oh, I'm going to stay home.
Former Trump White House Associate Counsel Mae Mailman.
What?
Mae Mailman. says that she's more optimistic that Mike Johnson will get across the finish line, if only just by one vote. Only Republicans can end Republicans' own honeymoon. And that's why Speaker Johnson is the right choice. Who's after Johnson? Thomas Massie won't tell you who the next person is. Chip Roy won't tell you who the next person is. Matt Gaetz, now from the sidelines, won't tell you who the next person is. I've seen Matt Gaetz floated because you do not have to be a member of the House to be the Speaker of the House. I've also seen Elon Musk suggested.
I mean, but it is a crazy world, but no, that's not happening.
King Doge is too busy.
Jabba the Musk. He's got other things to do.
Please.
You guys bring Jabba the Musk in here. I love that.
Oh, yeah. He's our pet. He's our mascot.
That's our mascot.
Yep. Made by Scott from Shorewood.
Yes. Thank you, Scott.
We love him. It's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah, I mean, or it's not going to be, and like at like 12:02, they're like, it's done. Oh, okay, I guess.
Wouldn't that be something if they actually got it done by noon?
If they did, you know, and that's the bigger observation here is what impact does Trump have on this process, right? You would think if this is the cult, as I say, and everyone is going to step in line, this should pass. You mean the leader has spoken,
right? Yep.
But Massey's not having it, and some of these folks aren't having it. They have their own motivations and their own circumstances. And hell, if they got elected overwhelmingly in their districts and by greater margins than Trump won, they have their own mandate. You know what I'm saying? To represent their constituents. And if Massey's a libertarian saying our debt's out of control and we can't do this and that and that, and he's going to, you know, do the Yakuza, get his fingers cut off before he votes for that. I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
And a Miami Vice episode as well. But besides that, you know, this is really a reflection of the leadership or lack thereof of Donald Trump and what kind of actual power he will hold sway over in the Congress.
That's a very interesting point that you make. And I will be curious to see, again, how firm their spines will stand. And yes, it is their responsibility as an elected official to represent their constituents, not the agenda of Donald Trump, right?
Yes.
They don't serve the president. They serve their ostensibly.
Right. That's supposed to be.
Right. That's the way it's supposed to work. Donald Trump, by the way, on Truth Social today, said good luck today for Speaker Mike Johnson, a fine man of great ability who is very close to having 100% support. A win for Mike today will be a big win for the Republican Party and yet another acknowledgement of our 129-year most consequential presidential election.
Does it hurt to have to read his words sometimes?
There's a twitch.
Yeah, like it's your like, eyes start to cross.
I wonder, am I saying this right? Is this coming across
neck
properly?
Right here. It's going to be interesting to see.
I love that. Good luck, Mike, with a little tussle of the hair.
Go get him, Tiger.
Go get him. Yeah.
Here's a nickel. Get a milkshake on me.
How about a Fresca?
Yeah.
A woman who has a bio, America First and MAGA Kingdom, chimed in on Truth Social. Good luck with Mike Johnson as your speaker. He's 100% swamp. We tried to tell you no to him. Watch how he undermines your agenda and make it look like it's never his doing.
But that's ultimately the problem is that, you know, they bit so hard on all of his catchphrases and drain the swamp is one of the biggest ones. And he is in no way, shape or form attempted. If anything, he's filled it overboard. Like I said this on the show, this new pick of cabinet members is just a reboot of The Apprentice. And that's it. And it's swampier than ever. And it's just like, I don't understand how, like, this individual who said, oh, this is the swamp, how she can still support him then if he's not doing what he says he's going to do.
They're our swamp people. You see how that works?
Mike Johnson is a Democrat in disguise.
Right. He's a rhino.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We've heard Don Jr., I think it was last week or the week before, talked about it's not the Democrats that are our biggest issue. It's the Republicans. Just because they have an R behind their name doesn't make them part of MAGA.
Right. They're rhinos.
They should instead of having an R, should say either DTJ. That's when they know.
That's how MAGA. Yes, that's how you know.
And it's interesting. Some of the commenters on Truth Social are not happy with the president-elect endorsing Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, he's not our guy. Does the mob turn against Donald Trump? You know, and because that's the, I think it'll take a little bit longer for that to happen. But as you mentioned, it was sold so hard and all these things that Donald Trump's going to do. And if he doesn't, he's not able to do them or to the degree that he claims he's going to. And it looks evident that he's, you know, surrounding himself with corruption and grift. And all of a sudden, some of the decisions made are going to negatively impact some of those Trump supporters. Those things will continue to add on to each other. And at some point, perhaps Donald Trump will feel the pressure that a lot of those other Republicans who have either left Congress or got primaried out by, make it to the right.
Yep.
Will he succumb to that? Will the creation, will the monster eventually eat the man?
But don't you think, I think true Trump supporters will do anything in their power to blame anyone else but him, no matter how much they suffer personally.
But I think at some point, in what you're saying, Dom, I think they will take that mode of thought and eventually blame him so they don't have to take the blame. He's changed. He's not the guy I voted for.
The swamp got to him.
The swamp, he's infected his
swamp
brain.
Swamp fever, baby.
He is I can't believe I'm going to say, he's a rhino. I am what Trump really represents. He doesn't anymore. Because they'll find any way they can to rework the rules and the regulations and all the standards to make sure that they just don't have to feel anything but excitement when really they feel nothing but fear and anger.
We're talking about Mike Johnson going for another round as Speaker of the House and whether or not he's going to have enough votes to squeak through. I've seen some other things online where it's like, oh, it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries. No,
it's
not going to be Hakeem Jeffries.
It's going to be Jane Mattenair.
Yeah, I'm sure. Why not?
Well, I mean, what kind of dysfunction would it have to come down to for
Hakeem
Jeffries? You know what I mean? For real.
I think it would have to be massive, massive miscommunication on the Republicans' part where, like, all Democrats vote for Hakeem Jeffries. And then, like, three of them just like, as a joke, wait, you did? I did. Oh, God. Oh, we're in so much trouble.
Oh, no. What did we do? Well, we will keep an eye on Mr. Mike Johnson and see how he fares. Kevin McCarthy, it went 19 votes, didn't it?
15.
Oh, 15 only 15.
Almost but 2 weeks. I mean, it was a long,
drawn-out process. We'll see how many rounds. There should be an award for that.
I think I bet you if I call in Vegas right now, they probably got some money.
They got some lines on it.
I did see this morning like 34% that he will get it in the first round, and like 70 or 80% that he'll
like
eventually
it's the draft.
Get it. And this is what I'm saying. Come on, it's America. You can bet on anything.
Pretty much. Dominic Salvia is our guest. Catch Dom on his show from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. News. When we return, Aaron Rodgers has words.
Oh, more Aaron Rodgers words. It's my favorite.
We will share words from Aaron Rodgers when we come back. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Matt Nair on air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. An hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's That Sinking Feeling edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Our friend and colleague Dom Salvia is our guest for the 1 year anniversary of Matt Nair on Air.
So glad
to see you, Dominic.
Who brought the beer? Oh, was that my job?
That was your job.
That was your job. Right. Dom. We want to talk about Aaron Rodgers having words.
Words.
Aaron Rodgers, according to J.R. Ratcliffe, who was just on with us yesterday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headline reads, Aaron Rodgers acknowledges Sunday might be his last NFL game.
So you're telling me there's a loving and all-merciful Lord. Holy cow. <Yeah. laughs>
The other thing he said is that the last 2 years with the Jets were the best of his life.
Come on.
How many?
Did he win a Super Bowl with the Packers?
He did win a Super Bowl.
Apparently that sucked.
And several MVPs also, did he not?
He won at least two. I know that, back to back.
Well, I think he's talking about his hourly rate, considering he paid about 4 minutes last year and got benched last week. He's really increased his hourly rate.
Yes, he's done well. He's done well that way. I mean, playing time, not so much.
But getting paid? You know, all right.
You know what really sucks about this whole thing, besides him completely, is the fact that in like 3, 4, 5 years, he'll come back to Green Bay and they're going to retire his number and everyone's going to act like, oh my God, he's back. When really this is, I mean, Brett Favre went to the Vikings and he went to the Jets because he's a football player. It's in their brain. They can't stop doing it. But he just is very good at being insulting. And that's insulting to any Green Bay Packer fan, if you ask me. And Green Bay, hold on to that memory for a little bit longer. Just like, it really bothers me. It's such a disrespectful. Give back your ring.
Do you think he's purposefully trolling Green Bay fans?
Yeah. Oh, I think he's purposefully trolling. I don't
just
think
in general. Everybody.
But he doesn't have it. He doesn't really think about what his words have an impact, because he never thinks about what his impact is. He's Aaron Rodgers. He can do no wrong.
It's interesting to me that he thinks he's going to skate off into the sunset. And he'll land somewhere,
yeah,
for sure. He's going to land somewhere.
He's got to worry about paying the rent.
Well,
you know?
There's that. He can buddy up with Pat McAfee and they can go on the road and do the McAfee and Rodgers show.
I have a feeling that if Rodgers even tried to pitch that idea, McAfee would be like, I'm good. I think McAfee likes Rodgers when he gets him, but Pat McAfee does not want that.
Is Rodgers a paid guest on that show?
Probably not. I don't know. I mean,
does he do anything for free?
This is what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess I'm doing it wrong, Jane.
Yeah. Right. Aaron Rodgers says, this game has given me a lot. I've given a lot back to it, and I'm thankful for it. I won't be thinking about that on game day. I'll just be enjoying this. I'm trying to stay in the moment, but of course it's been a long career. Oh, spare me. I'm really proud of what I've been able to be a part of and what I've been able to accomplish. And I'm also looking forward to a nice mental and physical rest.
Ayahuasca, baby.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Apparently, he's become very in touch with his inner Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's, I think I asked.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, right. There's nothing wrong with it. And I asked that question. When you decide, when you make a decision to take a mental health journey to, whether it's fix certain aspects of yourself, just go on a walk with yourself and try to say, who am I and what do I want in the world? How do I be better to myself, thus being better to other people? It makes you a more put together, a better person. Aaron Rodgers' journey has been the opposite. He's gotten, you know, he ate mud with his ex, and he takes ayahuasca and he's immunized from the truth. And he's just a turd. He sucks.
It doesn't seem like he's become more magnanimous and open and warm and all of those things that you would think would come from this vast self-reflection.
Oh, perhaps what he's seeing, the reflection isn't what it really should be. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, I remember him sitting there when he was during the draft, right? Guy goes through his head when he didn't get drafted, didn't get drafted, right? And then coming to Green Bay and sitting behind Favre and finally getting the chance and breaking through. And I mean, that's a great story right there. If he ended right then and there. Yeah. But then, you know, he dipped into the whole COVID thing with the I am immunized and on the ayahuasca going on and getting involved in the politics. I mean, he was about, someone brought him up for a vice presidential candidate. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, wait, what? And he toyed with it. You know, he played with us.
That just shows he's an egomaniac, too.
Oh,
he is just the stereotypical dude now talking about politics. No one cares about your political bents, man. Seriously. Shut up and throw a football.
Doesn't anybody tell him to stay in his lane?
No,
or doesn't Rodgers have to stay in his lane? Just shut up and throw.
Yeah. No. You can't even do that.
Dominic, who's coming up on your show this afternoon?
Former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays. James Santel joins me on Friday. We're going to get into some of the legal issues going on, including the U.S. Supreme Court. Whether or not Attorney General Merrick Garland is, in fact, the worst attorney general. And that's saying a lot considering Bob Barr, but we'll get into it with Jim later.
Dominic Salvia, check him out today from 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you so much, Dom. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Congratulations, guys.
News appreciate coming up next. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In the wake of the deadly truck attack in New Orleans, concerns that someone will try to repeat it.
The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security sent out a bulletin to 18,000 law enforcement agencies, basically out of an abundance of caution, telling them, be on the lookout for copycats. They're very concerned that people will be motivated by what they saw and try to act out on their own.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. A New York City judge ordered President-elect Trump to be in court, in person or virtually, next Friday to be sentenced on 34 felony counts in the business fraud hush money case The judge indicating there will be no prison time, what's called an unconditional discharge. House Speaker Mike Johnson was a surprise first ballot winner in his bid to remain as Speaker. A lot less drama in the Senate, where South Dakota's John Thune has been elected majority leader, succeeding Charles Schumer after the Republicans took control of the Senate. This is ABC News. It's a seven-figure fine for JetBlue. First time an airline's been held accountable for an unrealistic flight schedule.
From June of 2022 to November of 2023, the federal government claims JetBlue operated four chronically delayed routes between New York and Raleigh-Durham, Fort Lauderdale and Orlando, Orlando and New York, and Fort Lauderdale and Windsor Locks, Connecticut. Each was chronically delayed for months, and that despite warnings from the Department of Transportation, JetBlue allegedly kept operating the flights delayed. Now the DOT is fining JetBlue $2 million for operating an unrealistic flight schedule. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Michigan officials confirmed that human remains discovered by hunters near the site of the Electric Forest Music Festival are those of Kevin Graves, who vanished from the festival in 2018 after some friction with his girlfriend. Investigators say foul play is not suspected in Graves' death. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom.